The above picture showed was in reaction to a independent commissioner's panel ruling that Auckland Transport can, if it wishes, chop down six 80-year-old Pohutukawa trees on the Great North Road at the St. Luke's Road interchange and allow the road to be widened in that area. Now, the Pohutukawa tree and flowers symbolic as it's shown on Auckland Council's photo, yet one of its own CCOs, council-controlled organisations, is about to chop six of them down. So you can see the rather irony in that picture. But you can also see in the irony, too, the way council is handling its long-term plan, which has been debated today in the governing body, that it's also taking a rather big hack at Auckland on the way out. And so, yesterday, the governing body will meet to adopt the draft 2015 to 2025 long-term plan for consultation between the 23rd of January 2015 to the 16th of March 2015. At the same time, and as a side note, Auckland Transport will also in that same period consult on the regional land transport program, which sets about the transport projects over a given time frame. So basically since 2012, what stays, what goes, and what faces the chop thanks to the long-term plan and or government, central government's priorities. Now, I will be at the governing body for a good portion of it with my live tweeting service. The link is up on the blog post. And will be blogging as well as being alongside the other mainstream media journalists as the council goes through the motions, or rather the theatrics, of setting the long-term plan today. The question being, how much theatrics are we going to get? How much relitigation are we going to get? And will anything meaningful get amended before it's set for consultation? We have a crack at it next year. The answer to those questions that technically answer themselves. And so, what are we looking at? Well, for starters, and as it's been picked up, most local board areas lose key priority projects or have them deferred. Examples have been the Otahu and the Manukau transport interchanges, unless AT has found the money elsewhere in its budget to allow those projects to continue on the original time frame next year, so completion by 2016. If not, and that if AT has not found the money and is at the whims of the main council and the LTP, both projects get shunted back to 2021, which is a bit, for Otahu, it's a bit lethal and suicidal, given that the new South Auckland bus network is somewhat dependent on that new Otahu interchange. For Manukau, not so much technically, and we could do some quick remedial, quick win stuff at its current place outside the Westfield main entrance on the eastern side to give a six-year layover. But as I said, most local areas lose key projects or have them deferred. In the consultation document that's been discussed today, that key long-term projects are listed as affordability, rates, transport, and the new Auckland Development Auckland CCO. Local projects and other regional projects that aren't considered key are basically shunted out, which includes at the moment two transport interchanges. If it includes two transport interchanges, then what the hell did make it into the LTP for funding? We'll soon see tomorrow. I won't speculate yet because amendments can still go through in the council is all muddled in its voting patterns at any given time. And so it leads into what is the consultation going to be like. Apparently, according to council documents, the long-term plan summary document will be delivered to Auckland households on the 23rd of January when the consultation period begins and finishes on the 16th of March. The summary will include a feedback form and local inserts setting up priorities for the relevant area. We also encourage Aucklanders to go online and read the full consultation document, which the draft version I pulled yesterday morning was standing at 72 megabytes, so watch out. Another supporting information, which was about 20 megabytes as is to date. And after reading the consultation document, you can either complete it by hand or do an online form. The summary will also be in the following language online and hard copy in Māori, Chinese, Samoan, Korean, Hindi, and Tongan. But also, as I've put below, the council is setting about different feedback methods, from have your say events, which are basically when a whole lot of us get together with the council and in some cases Auckland Transport and have a bit of a powwow on what we like and what we don't like about the long-term plan. There's general have your say sessions as well as specific have your say sessions, which I've listed below. Everyone's allowed to do written feedback, whether online forms or a full submission. Local boards might do targeted, meetings and feedback sessions as well. So if you want to look for a good place for that, watch Ōrākei. There'll be digital engagement activities available to all, but specifically aimed at the youth and online communities. And the weekly blog will be run with 3 to 4 themed online forums. More to be seen on that. And last but not least, which is bound to cause the most consternation, short of rates itself, is the survey. As it was noted earlier, a motion to have a full citywide referendum on what transport funding options we would like, and there was 3, was defeated and a survey was to go in place. Well, according to the LTP documents, and from what the mayor has superimposed over us and defying the wishes of the city, a survey of 5,000 people will happen at the same time, although a bit longer into April, on which the 3 transport funding options we would like to fund the $12 billion transport funding gap to get the full Auckland plan transport network rather than the basic transport network package, which I will have both put up there from the script page. But if you're one of the lucky 5,000, these are the 2 options you are effectively going to get. Anything else is superficial. These are your 3 options. The first option, an extra 0.9% rate rise on top of any other rate increases year on year for the next, at the moment it was 9 years, plus a regional fuel tax that would add an extra 1.2% to the price of petrol for also the next 9 years, year on year. Or a motorway toll of, at the moment, $2 that would be charged each time you use the Auckland motorway network. And the third option, which has been quietly chuckled at because it's probably not going to be widely advertised, is the do nothing, that is, none of the above 2 options. Now, the 5,000 people has issues as is because you run the risk of the politically indoctrinated getting caught, whereas if you did 100,000 or even 300,000 people, can be done, you lessen that risk off. And it also is quite a large sample that you couldn't easily refute either, despite the so-called confidence intervals being at 95% for 5,000. And it also 300,000 being surveyed rather than 5,000 seems a little bit more collaborative, well, pushing that but rather than tokenistic as you get with 5,000. But in any case, is the council afraid that if the do-nothing option came up, no matter how big the survey was, there would be an absolute emphatic thumping of at least 75% picking the none above, i.e. they want something else or want to have a deeper discussion on what transport projects are there and how we actually, and then come to the funding, because we're not really getting much of a say in there. So if you're one of the 5,000 lucky souls, those are the 3 options you should theoretically end up with, and this is based on what came out of the consensus group the mayor had for funding options, of which 2 were picked and then superimposed over the city, and we can't take any of the other of those 3 options, which means you can't select a public-private partnership, you can't do what I suggested in using council becoming more of an active landlord and leveraging off its developments, such as in Manukau and over rails and bus stations, like the City Rail Link stations, or even the lottery, like they did to the Sydney Opera House in the end. Those are technically not there, so those are the 3 options you're stuck with. So, yeah, I wonder if there will be an emphatic thumping and at least 75% pick the do-nothing, or that is the none above the 2 options one. If it is, council will have a rather large please explain to the city and even to central government. So that's the consultation we get, there are no technical formal hearings, so you're going to have to make it count in your submission. And the other feedback avenues available that I've mentioned earlier. Now, also tomorrow, as I try to do an Official Information Act request on but couldn't, is the Auditor General's report also gets presented today on Council's finances and how we're looking at gaining revenue as well as expenditure on city OPEX, operations, and CAPEX, the projects, capital expenditure. Now, apparently, the rumor's gone around, although I wouldn't take it as a total reliable source as much, is that the council, specifically the mayoral office, has been busy redacting large portions of the report. If that is true, I would give that as a self-defeating exercise because some of us would go back to the Auditor General directly and ask for the report from her end, no holds bar, meaning the full report. So that sets the council up into a bit of trouble as is. That said, if any MPs get a hold of it, there's nothing stopping them having it leaking the no holds bar unredacted report either. So why the council doesn't just release the whole thing go is yet to be seen. That said, if it is anything like the cost of growth study, which was meant to be presented to the Auckland Development Committee this month, that's been now delayed in its release until further notice owing to a rebranding exercise, i.e. probably half the document, if not more, had stuff in there that the council didn't like, so they're going to massage it around to make it more presentable to them. The problem is half the city's now cottoned on, so it's going to be a rather pointless exercise rather fast, and especially with what the Unitary Plan Independent Hearing Commissioners are saying, and half the time the council gets damned that way as well, especially with some of the recent stuff that came out too from that hearings panel, which really damned both the Auckland Plan and Unitary Plan and the council's ambitions as is, especially when they didn't do their Section 32 analysis as required by law properly, i.e. parts of it is non-existent. And then, as I start winding up this podcast, we come to the reminder that, and it's been going around in the media recently after George alerted me to it, I ran with it, then the Suburban Papers picked up on it, and the Herald picked up on it on Tuesday, that we seem to be seeing some of these some of our projects, like the interchanges, are being treated as political weapons in the long-term plan to get either of those two unpalatable transport funding options put through and scaring off everyone from the do nothing, which would humiliate the council and force them, as government would start paying attention quickly, to actually bring the full suite of options to us and allow us to actually pick the ones we actually want, and then rather than the ones the council's trying to shimmy us into and superimpose over us. So if it does come out tomorrow that projects like the interchanges, like Colindale Park, which has just come up, which had its funding all committed, but it's being pulled away by the governing body due to budget cuts. Thus, the local board loses grants from the ASP community grant of quite a bit. I think it was $68,000 they lose in the grants. They lose them forever. So, if it is true that projects are being used as political weapons to give us two options that we don't want, then I would highly encourage those who do get the survey, and then I would encourage everyone else through their submissions to hit the do nothing option and tell council that we don't take this lying down. More on this as we go into as the governing body ratifies and adopts the draft long-term plan at the end of today, and when we go out for consultation, when we go into consultation on the 23rd of January 2015.